Good morning. Good to see all of you, and hope that you had a good week in the Lord and all your endeavors. This morning we want to continue, as we began last week, looking at the quiet time. And in the event you were away last week, I'm going to ask that Morris to indulge me again. And you need a sheet. Anyone weren't here last week? Morris will help you out there with a copy. We've just been discussing, as I said, the importance of the quiet time and why should you have a quiet time. And as I've been going over this, my life has been challenged afresh of the need to spend more time with the Lord. Again, anyone needs a pen? Came prepared. Share a pen. I got a couple. Oh, another paper? No, you gonna share that again? Maybe a couple can. Someone, maybe a couple can give you if you gave out two. Let me just briefly recap. You won't go through all of it. Those of you just got the outline, the paper, maybe you can look at someone else's paper and get the fill in the blanks. But we've been looking at the fact that why should we have a quiet time? And we're looking at three main reasons. One, because we need fellowship with God. We need fellowship with God. And we looked at that and the fact that we were created to have fellowship with the Creator. There is a, as someone has said, there is a void within man. That can only be filled by God. And we cannot reach our potential. We cannot worship. We cannot praise God as we ought apart from God. And not to worship God, Jesus said, we to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we need fellowship with God. The Bible talks about God coming down in the cool of the day to meet with Adam and Eve. I believe they had a special place. And a special time where they were able to commune with God. And you and I should set aside that time. For most of us this morning, where we set aside to meet with God, whether it be for a half an hour, whether it be for an hour, that time should be guarded where we can enjoy God and fellowship in His presence with Him. Because it is our privilege, and that's where we are on that point too, as a Christian. It is our privilege. We give devotion to God. We get direction from God. We gain delight in God. And that's what we want to pick up this morning as we look at this whole idea of gaining delight in God. I did not mark my paper on paper three. Did we do the talk? Talks about the quiet time is also a time to commit our day to the Lord. Did we do that? Okay, so top of page three, that's where we begin this morning. Yeah, I think we end at the end of page two when we talked about we get direction from God in our quiet time. He causes us to consider our ways. We take time to assess our lives. And so we're going to begin on top of page three. Top of page three. The quiet time is also a time to commit our day to the Lord. Solomon urged trust in the Lord. We all know Proverbs 3 and 5. Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him,
and he built over by path.
And so each day, as we come to God to worship, to praise, to enjoy fellowship with him, but we also, in our quiet time, should admit our day to the Lord. Ask the Lord to order our steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They are directed by the Lord. And you and I do not know what the day holds. We don't know what might befall us. We don't know what the obstacles are will be in our way. And so we need to commit our day and our way to the Lord, that he might lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so Solomon said, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 37 talks about committing thy way unto the Lord. Committing thy way. And as we commit our way, as we commit our day, as we commit our steps, as we commit the activities of the day to the Lord, he will direct. He will guide. And again, we must also realize as we commit ourselves and our day to the Lord, sometimes we get the idea that if we commit our day and we commit our way to the Lord, nothing will go wrong. That's far from the truth. It's far from the truth. The important thing is that you committing your day, I'm committing my day. Whatever comes our way, whatever obstacles, whatever trials, we know that we have committed it to the Lord and the Lord will take us through. The Lord will take us through. And so, it's important that you and I, as we begin our day and begin in our quiet time, that we need to trust in the Lord as we commit our day to him and ask God to show us his will for today, for the day, each day. And it's important that we do that each day, because what was good for yesterday may not be good for today. And I believe that's why God told the children of Israel, he sent the manna every day so that they were to go out and collect it each day, fresh, and to get their daily needs met. So we need to commit our day to the Lord. It's important that there are obstacles, there are difficulties, there are trials, and we need God's sustaining grace. We need to know his will as we go. Point three, we gain delight in God. The third privilege of the quiet time is to enjoy God and simply bask in his presence. David told God, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. In other words, the King James says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Evermore. The secret of real joy is knowing God personally. That's the secret of real joy, is knowing God personally. And that's true. Let's take a simple illustration. You and I cannot enjoy our spouses, your wife, your husband, totally open up ourselves to them until they know us and we know them. And we can feel comfortable in their presence. And likewise. And so real joy, experiencing real joy in your life and in my life, is knowing God. And that was Paul's desire. Paul said that I might know him. That I might know him. And if you and I want to experience real joy and have real delight in God, to experience his presence in a unique way. As the psalmist says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself. How many of us go into God's presence with an experience that delight? Are we delighted or do we experience exuberant joy in his presence? For many of us as Christians, we go to routine and mechanics. We just go and say we have done it. But to really delight in God, to enjoy God, to enjoy him. And so in his presence is fullness of joy. fullness of joy, complete joy. And on his right hand are pleasures evermore. And so the secret of real joy is knowing God personally. Personally. Intimately. And that takes time. That takes time in any relationship. In order to get to know someone, it takes time. People spend a lifetime getting to know their spouses. And there are some things that you are still learning about your wife. But our wives know all about us, right, men? After the first year. that's why Solomon said, the ways of a woman are, what? Can't hear you. I'm mumbling, man, come on. Past finding out, it's incredible. But to know her, we had to spend time with her and to delight in her as we ought. And so we have to see if we gain delight. And so do we really know Christ or do we really merely know about him? Paul's number one priority was to know Christ intimately. Let's turn on that passage in Philippians chapter 3. I just want to read it. We won't, and maybe just say a few things because it's so much in that passage that you can spend a whole lesson on. Philippians chapter 3. And Paul, in the earlier verses, talks about his heritage, talks about what he was and his background in terms of his being born, circumcised on the eighth day. He was a stock of Israel. In other words, he said that he was emphasizing the fact that he was not a proselyte, person who came into the Jewish faith, and they were circumcised later on in life. He was not like Ishmaelite. They were circumcised at age 12 or 13 because that's when they look back on their life and their forefather. But he said, I was circumcised in the eighth day. He said, I'm of the stock of Israel. I am the tribe of Benjamin. He's talking about the fact that looking back on his pedigree, I come from the tribe that gave Israel their first king. And I'm in the tribe that the only one that stayed with Judah during the hard times. And so he's building himself. I'm a Hebrew of a Hebrew. In other words, he did not, like many Jews, adopted any Greek customs. He held to the heritage of his people. And he talked about the fact that touching the law, he said, hey, I'm a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee. You know how we were. He said, you want to talk about zeal and being zealous for the people of God and for Israel? He said, listen, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness within the law, he says, I was blameless. In other words, whenever he did wrong, he knew how to get right. He kept the commandments. He offered the needed sacrifice. And then he came and was simple. What things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. What a thought. As we talked about Job last week, how Job said he esteemed the word of God more than his necessary food. And Paul said, all these things are a gain to me. He said, I call it all but loss. I call it all, that I might grasp the person of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of knowing him, intimate knowledge. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and don't count them but down as refuge, he's saying here. And be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Verse 10, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. This was Paul's desire. This was Paul's desire. To know the Lord Jesus Christ. To know him. Intimately. That's what the word. Intimate knowledge. To know Christ. And that's what it's going to take. If you and I want to experience real joy. If you want to experience the presence of God in our lives. If you want to know God's will for our lives, it's going to take us desiring in our hearts to know Him personally, not just in salvation in our life. That, to me, that's like an introduction, sort of. But to spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. That's what it says. The next verse says, spend time with Him and communicate meaningfully with Him. It takes time. That's what I've been emphasizing. That's what I said last week. To me, in order to have a really meaningful quiet time, I think it has to be time. No less than half an hour in His presence. Spending time reading and praying and meditating and allowing Him to speak to our hearts. Spend time with and communicate meaningfully with Him. I want to underscore that meaningfully. Sometimes we rush into His presence and we take our daily bread and we flip through it and read the verses and then we read the story and then whoop, you're out. You're out. And so there's no stillness. There's no time for communication. And you know, communication is you and I speaking to someone and they're speaking back to us. And then also understanding what they're saying. Because it won't be true communication if you don't understand and they don't understand you, right? That's not communication at all. And so, meaningfully, is to be in His presence, speaking to Him, and allowing Him to speak to us, and we hear His voice, and we understand what He's saying to our heart and to our lives. I want to challenge you, if you don't do it already, when you have your quiet time, and you read, and you pray, and you wait upon the Lord, have a notebook with you. It's a notepad. And just be quiet in His presence. And as He speaks to your heart, just write it down. It just might be a single line. It might be a couple lines. It might be a paragraph. It might be a whole page. But you try that and you'll be surprised how your quiet time can be revolutionized. This past Christmas, I bought my wife a devotional, but that big and that verses and have various things. And I said, Bridget, I want you to it helps her to write down thoughts that God speaks to her. At the beginning of the year, it was a little difficult because she wasn't used to doing that. But now she spends an hour to an hour and a half in her quiet time alone. I'm not saying it's had to boost her up, but I think that has helped her to be able to wait before the Lord and being able to articulate and hear God's voice. And I've seen the change in my wife. I've seen it because of that. Because of that. And so it's important. And let me just interject here. It's not a part of it, but I don't know if you do or you don't, but I want to encourage you. It's important that as couples, you have a quiet time together. If you don't, begin. Begin sharing together, praying together as husband and wife. That's important. It's important. It brings you together. It opens you to one another, your needs, your desires, and it's good. It's cement your life together. So it's important that not only do you have a family time where you and the wife and the children, which is important to do, but it's also important that you, as a husband and wife, do that. For some of us, you can't do it every morning, but at least a couple of times a week, where you and your wife get together, to pray together, to read God's word together, and to share. And husbands, we are responsible for that. We are responsible to do that with our wives. Because, we are responsible to making sure that they reach maturity. We are. Christ is grooming His bride. He is preparing His bride. He's cleansing her with the word. And her husbands, if we're going to follow Christ, it's our responsibility to do the same thing with our wives, with the word of God. And so I just want to throw that in there for whatever it's worth. Okay? We grow, number four, more like God, or we develop more like God. The fourth privilege of the quiet time is the opportunity to grow in our spiritual lives, becoming more and more like Jesus. How do we become more like Jesus? First, we are made holy like God through the Word. First, we are made holy like God through the Word. John 17:17. It's very clear. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. And our growth in sanctification comes through time spent in Scripture, getting to know God intimately. Sanctify them through thy word, or through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible, in terms of sanctification, speaks of sanctification in three ways: past, present, and future. Sanctify, sanctification, holiness comes from the same basic root word. It means to set apart from, unto. And so, positionally, you and I are sanctified. We are set apart. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The moment you and I trusted Christ as Savior, we were seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why we believe in eternal security. That's why we stay not only for time, but forever. Forever. We are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's positional sanctification. That's where we are right now. As far as God is concerned, you and I are already there. As far as God is concerned. But then there is perfect sanctification. And Paul or John says the fact that that we are, when we see him, beloved, now we the sons of God, and God not yet appear, but we will be, but we know that when we see him, we're going to be like him. That's perfect sanctification. 1 John 3:2. Not position will become a reality in our lives experientially, and we'll be perfect. We're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to see him and we're going to be like him. Perfectly set apart, no more exposed to sin, temptation. We're going to see Christ and we're going to be like him. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Lord willing, I'm going to be challenging the hearts of the unsaved and probably our hearts tonight, because I'm going to be speaking on the second coming of Christ. The fact that we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible said. In a moment means in an atom of time. Twinkling means in a wink, in a blink. We're going to be changed. The sandwich between positional sanctification and perfect is practical or progressive sanctification. All right, that's what we're talking here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Paul says in Romans 6:4 that we have to walk in newness of life. The life that Christ has given to us. A new dynamic life. And so he says, God is saying, I've given you a position, and now I want you to live that out in your daily lives. And the way to do that is to allow the word of God, as he says here, to cleanse us. We need to spend time in the scriptures. And so in order to live the set apart life in a practical way, we need to spend time in the word. We need to allow the word of God to do that in our lives. Because that's what the word of God does. That's what the word of God does. And so he says, our growth in sanctification comes through time spent. Again, you cannot get around this. Time. And we said earlier that each of us have the same amount of time in the week. And so we need to give time. We need to give it priority. Secondly, daily growth comes as the word builds us up. As the word builds us up. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is theonoustos, is God breathed, given by inspiration, and is profitable. Notice that now. All scripture is profitable. Not some. All. Remember John reading, John Darby says a critic came to him and showed him a portion of scripture in the book of Timothy where it says that Paul said to Timothy, bring the parchments when you come. Bring my books. So the man said, what's so profitable about this? John Darby said, it was that scripture that kept me from selling all my books at one point. He said, well, that scripture, so all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We may not understand in a particular time, but God can turn it around. It is profitable for doctrine. Talking about teaching, all right, in righteousness. It might, so for doctrine, for reproof. And the reproof has the idea of rebuking those who are in sin. That's what reproof is about. Rebuking those who are in sin. For correction, those who are in error, and to set them right again. That's what correction has to do with. For instruction, so that they may be trained in the ways of God, in righteousness. That the man of God, generic, man of God may be perfect, or the word that could be sufficiently and thoroughly or completely, sufficiently, completely equipped. That's what the furnace means. Equipped unto all good works. Unto all good works. And so the word of God builds us up. Builds us up. And so that's why Peter says, as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Thereby. And so if a child isn't growing physically, there's something wrong. Either there's something wrong with them physically, or you're not feeling. And I'm sure all of us have seen, even in Kosovo, we've seen these people and these children, especially if they come across these children's funds on the radio, on the TV, and they're trying to solicit funds. You see the children who are malnourished. You see their stomach, and you see their growth is stunted because of lack of food, proper nourishment. And that's the same way it is with Christians. When we fail to spend time in the Word of God, our growth is stunted. And just like physically it can be seen in the lives of those children and others, it can be seen spiritually in the lives of other people. And you won't be able to judge. You can see. You can see it. The conversations, what's priority in their lives, their commitment to Jesus Christ and the things of Christ. You can see it. Their relationships, how they deal with people, how they deal with family issues and all those things, it can be seen. Whether they're growing or not, it can be seen. And so, it builds us up. Third, we grow as our minds are transformed from thinking the world's way to thinking God's thoughts. Our minds are transformed. Be not conformed to this world, he says in Romans 12:2, but be transformed. That word transform is from the same Greek word that we get metamorphosis. And it has the idea of being coming from inside out. It's like a beautiful cocoon, the butterfly or whatever. You don't see the beauty because it is in that cocoon, and then that thing opens for the beauty. What a wonderful sight to behold. And so he said, that's the same way. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. How is our mind renewed? By the Word of God. You can't get around it. Can't get around it. By the Word of God. By the Word of God. And so it is a privilege for you and for me. To be able to have a quiet time, spend time with God, because it transforms us. It conforms us to the image of God's Son. That's God's purpose. To conform us to the image of His Son. And you know, His beauty and glory and, not an exact in terms of, physical appearance, but all of the virtues that is Christ and, causing us to be like Him. And our talk, and then our walk, and every way. Transform our minds from thinking the world's way. He was a saying, I don't know if you say it around here, every man for himself and God for us all. So I thought, no, that sounds good, but the Bible don't teach that. Not at all. Right? And so the Bible says that we are our brother's keeper. The Bible says that we are to care one for another, we are to love one another, not to forgive one another, and if you go through those one another's, pray one for another, right down the line, we come to understand that the world don't think like that. And we need to think differently. And so the ultimate goal of the quiet time is to grow to be just like Christ. To be like Christ. And finally, not only because we need fellowship and the privileges that we gain from it, but because we gain tremendous benefit, or it's a privilege, we gain tremendous benefits from it. The final reason we should have daily quiet time is because of tremendous results it brings to our lives. God has promised many to those who take time. Get to know Him through the Word. What are the results of having a daily quiet time? Number one, joy. Joy. The most joyful Christians are those who meet with God daily. Joy. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Little wonderful thing. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The psalmist says, 119:162. I remember as a boy, we were living in Freeport. We went to Nassau for Christmas. And we were living out down South Beach. And we were up in town. And of course, young men spent all of our money, so we couldn't catch the bus back home. So we had to walk from Day Street all the way down South Beach. And so we were walking and sun setting. And I was the youngest, and my two older brothers and the uncle were in the front of me. And I'm tired. Probably about 9, going on 11, and I'm tired. Tired, walking that long stretch, walking all day, and so as we're walking, my head down like this, dragging along, they're ahead of me. And one by one, they walked over this paper. And when I looked, something caught my eye, something green. I stopped, and I picked it up. Took this thing out of the paper, and as I began to take it one by one, $10, $20, $800, kept going. And man, you think I was still tired? Not at all. I said, look what I found. They turned around and they saw that, and we saw that paper and we walked over it, and they blah, 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 had about $90. About $90, you remember what $90 is to 11-year-old. You know, $90 still is to me today. But, boy, I rejoice. I snapped out of that tiredness. It was a completely different Kevin. It was like I found great sport. That's what God will do to you and to me as we spend time in it. You will experience God's joy. Not happiness. Happiness depends on what's happening. But joy. Full of the Spirit. Inward. Joy. And so, we get joy as we spend time in His Word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice. Number two, strength. As we meet with the Lord daily, get our spiritual batteries recharged. To get our spiritual batteries recharged. Isaiah says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They should mount up with wings of eagles. They should run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. They had wait upon the Lord. And I remember, I often quoted verse 31, but verse 39 and verse 30, I really didn't read that until Brother Cecil Cartwright, some years before he died, in Mars Harbor, quoted those three verses together. He said, this is my lifetime verse. And if you know how strong Brother Cecil was, he said he believed this is why the Lord had given him such a mind, because he cleaned these verses as a boy. And he said he gave it power. And even before his death, he could have quoted scripture, he quoted poems, right off the Lord had missed. But he found his strength in the Lord. And you and I, we're going to have strength for the day, for the activities, spiritual strength, to be able to come, to overcome the enemy. You and I need to get our strength from the Lord. And so that's one of the benefits. Joy, spiritual strength. If we are in a spiritual battle, in a spiritual warfare, and to overcome the enemy, we need the strength of the Lord. We need His strength. David said, as he prayed in the last chapter of 2 Samuel, or second to the last, he said one of these things. He talked about the God being my Savior, my refuge, my high tower. He began to reflect upon what God was to him. And then, coming down to the end of the chapter, he talked about it. You are my power and my strength. And my strength. And my strength. And we need to remember that. And then there is peace. Peace. Number three, peace. And we get peace of heart when we have the assurance that God is in control of all things. Peace. We get peace of heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Again, God is sovereign. And a brother said in the conference, the Easter conference last week, he said, we know all these things theoretically and intellectually. But you know when the rubber really hits the road, when we go into an experience and a time of trial, because we have God's word in our hearts and we spend time in God's word, we can experience the peace of God. Not only just peace with God, and many of us as Christians, we only living, we are saved, we have peace with God, we are in the kingdom. But many times we don't experience the peace of God. Peace of God. And so Paul says, be anxious for nothing. And everything by prayer, supplication, the thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Then he says, the peace of God, the serenity of God will keep your heart. And the word that will keep is a very picturesque word in the Greek. It has the idea of a sovereign being surrounded by his soldiers, guarding him. God will guard your heart and guard my heart. Why? Because out of the heart, the Bible says, Solomon says, are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. And so he said, peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. Why? Because he knows and knew, and he knows that we're going to need it. We're going to need it. And so you and I spend time in the Word of God, allow the Word of God to sink in our hearts and our minds. God, and we come to realize and trust God as the sovereign one. We experience His peace. Number four, stability. Stability. Our lives become stable when we have a regular, quiet time. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden. Note now. Doesn't say you won't have burdens. He said, cast it. Cast your burdens. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. To be of good cheer, I will overcome the world. And so he says, the responsibility is upon us. To cast. Not what the quiet time is all about. To cast your burdens upon the Lord. And this past week, my wife and I were praying about a particular thing and need in our lives. And I spoke to her last night, and through a friend, this need might be realized. Might be realized. And I told her, continue to pray. I'm going to get back, Lord willing, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. We hope to go and to try to get this thing resolved or look into something. But we need to cast it upon him. Cast it upon him. And he says, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer thee, the righteous, to be moved. He will give stability. Again, not saying that you and I don't have burden, we don't have trouble. But he says, if you spend time in his presence, if you get to know him, God says, whatever comes, whatever the problem comes, you throw it upon me, you give it to me, you cast it upon me. He says, Bible, Peter says that, casting all your care upon him, because he cared for you. He cared for you. God will sustain. God will keep. And then number five is success. Success. The only promise of success in the Bible is connected to the condition of daily meditation on the Word of God. Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Night and day, in the Word, meditating upon it, taking a verse, taking it through the day. So the promise of success in the Bible is connected to the condition of daily meditation upon the Word of God. To you and to me, upon the Word of God. And so it's important that we spend time in the Word. If you want a prosperous life, and again, prosperous does not necessarily mean having a lot of money. God don't look at prosperity. That was the problem with the Jews. They began to think of prosperity only in the light of material blessings. Material blessings. You know what the prosperity is for Christians today? Not just material, not the blessings of God, but to know him. To know him in an intimate way. You're going to be surprised. We're going to see a lot of people ahead of us, or someone has said, lining off our crown, who we didn't think much of. But boy, did they love him. They spend time with him. And that's it. That's the important thing, knowing him. And then finally, number six, answered prayers. Answered prayers. As we remain in Christ, we can claim his promise and be assured that our prayers will be answered. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, he shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And again, you need to qualify the whole idea. When we abide in Christ, when we submit to Christ, we desire his will. He will desire his will for our lives. And so, if you abide, if you remain faithful to him, his word, and ask and pray according to his will, our prayers, your prayers will be answered. Will be answered. My prayers will be answered. And so it's important. Some of the benefits. Joy, strength, peace, ability, success, answered prayers. And the list can go on. But it begins with you and I making a commitment to spend time in the presence of God. Getting to know him. Primarily, that's it. Getting to know him. And in essence, as we begin to desire to know him, and then we begin to know ourselves. Because as we come into his presence, God, by his Holy Spirit, through his word, shines his spotlight on the areas of our lives that are displeasing to him. And then we begin to see ourselves in the light of his presence.
such sadness that he gives you. Yes. Cry out to him, last kid. Strength enough to give us this victory over him. And so, priority is to get to know him. And then in doing that, the byproduct is then we get to see ourselves. We get to see ourselves and our shortcomings, our sin. And then we can begin to give to him our needs, to claim the victory that we have in Christ. That we have in Christ. And so I want to encourage your heart, again, in my own heart, to develop a quiet time. Because we need fellowship with God, because it is our privilege, because we gain tremendous benefits. Spending time with God. Let me pray. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for encouragement over the last few Sundays. To spend time in your word, to spend time in you. May it be our heart's desire as it was the Apostle Paul, that we might know you, O Lord. And secondly, that we might make you known as a result. For some of us, O Lord, it's been a struggle to do this because we are seemingly so busy in other areas.